Lord Jesus, will you shine the light of your word by the power and illumination of your spirit into our hearts, into our minds and into our souls. Will you both teach us the truth and expose the darkness in our life? Lord Jesus, please give us eyes to see you afresh this morning for who you truly are, and that you will lead us through this life to eternal life. Amen. Well, I think I've mentioned before my love of caving growing up when I was adventurous, and one of my favourite caves, not by name, was called B4B5 down at Bungonia. Very boring name. But between these two caves was a pass called the Hairy Traverse. It's about 10 metres long, and I think I've got it's not a really good map. It was really hard to find one. Where that red arrow is, it's just this narrow 10 metre pass. That's what a map of a cave looks like. Trust me, it was great fun. But this Hairy Traverse, it's a narrow ledge slopes from left to right. And to the right, it gets really narrow, so if you go through, you'll get stuck, you bump your head, and it's not very pleasant. But if you go to the left, there's a 40-foot drop. You need the light to make across this Hairy Traverse. Without it, you're in deep trouble. You won't even see the map. The map will be useless. But see, I think without light, our instinct is to go left or right. It is hard to stay straight. It's hard to stay straight and go right ahead in the one direction in darkness. And our instinct in this situation could lead us to danger, to a 40-foot drop, or 40 feet of danger. It was great fun, exciting, especially when you're the first one across. Trust me, it was awesome. Well, today Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He is the true map. How we are to make our way through life. See, I think what Jesus is saying, that he corrects our instinct that wants to go away from God. Jesus, the light, guides us to stay on track so we don't go left or right, but that we make it from point A to point B. But do you know where you're going? Jesus is the true light. He calls us to follow him through this life. And the promise of whoever believes in him will have the light of life, eternal life. And Jesus says he's the light of the world. The question this morning, is he the light of your world? He's the light of the world, but is he the light of your world? Now, light is a big deal. Without light, there's no life. Light plays a significant part in the world. In winter, I was reading this, in winter in Scandinavia, you get about 1 hour's light a day. Oof. That leads to something called the seasonal affective disorder, because the weather, the darkness in winter affects how people feel. Lack of light makes people feel sad. Light is the giver of life. You shine, light shines on soil. What happens? Things grow. You add light to fear, you get comfort. You add light to a dark path, you get safety and guidance. Because of light, we can do many things. Light allows us to savour our life. But light is a metaphor for the life that is found in Jesus. And contrast darkness that represents everything that is evil and bad in the world. More on that shortly. But we can take light for granted, can't we? We don't even notice it until it's gone. In a cave, you can't do anything without life, without light. Your eyes will never adjust to the darkness. You can hold your hand in front of your face and you'll never see it. Not even a blurred image. And in darkness, in a cave, you'll never find your way out. It's so dark. See, we need to appreciate light to understand the world and to see it correctly. The truth is that we do live in a dark world, and if we can appreciate what it means to live in a world without light, we begin to appreciate what John and Jesus is getting to when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, light is hugely symbolic of God and his work in the world. We see that in the past, and we see that in the present, and we'll see it in the future. But firstly, the image of light in the past in the Old Testament is one of the main meanings of light. It is the source of revelation, of God making himself known. In Isaiah, I'm going to get this right today, Isaiah 49 says this, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. God's light will give a vision to the nations of who he is, what he is like, and how we can receive this gracious offer of salvation. Light is an image of truth about God, truth about how we relate to God and walk with him. Another image of light is God's word. We all know Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. The light is the word of God. His instructions and his direction helps us to walk through this life, helps us to stay on the right path when our instinct is to actually go left or right. Further on in Psalm 119, verses 130, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And see, this is a primary attribute of God. Light is a description of how we can know God, who God truly is, for he has chosen to make himself known. That's what the Bible is all about, is God revealing himself to us through his word and fully through the Lord Jesus, so that we can have true understanding of him, true understanding of who God is. But I want us to take you back to, we started this series in Exodus 3 when Moses was given the task to go and talk to the people who were enslaved in Egypt. In Exodus 13, we get this extraordinary example of God as light. I think it's the most extraordinary example in the Old Testament. In Exodus 13, verse 21, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So God has rescued his people. Now God is leading his people to the promised land. See, we have this pillar of cloud during the day and we have this pillar at night that creates light at night. It's a symbol that God is with them. God is walking with them. God is going before them and God will protect them. For the glory of the Lord goes before his people, the ones that he has rescued and saved. The glory of the Lord is the light that leads his people. And the pillar of fire is more than just a symbol of God's presence. Israel sang about the Lord that is light. We've just sung our praises to the Lord. Israel sung the praises of the God who is light in Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? What a great thing to sing about. This light that led his people through the promised land. The song that was sung by God's people, the Lord is their light, is their salvation. They sung this about this God who saved them, who guides them by his light. And as we heard now, by his word. See, light is symbolic of God's work among his people. God's work to save his people, to guide his people. The light of the Lord. Well, then in Isaiah, God himself declares he'll be the light that comes to bring hope. In a dark world of mourning and sorrow. Don't we know that world? Do you know that world? Isaiah 60, verse 19, the sun will no more be the light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, your moon will never wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of sorrow will end. Friends,
Friends, in the darkness of our world, there is hope in God who is light, to bring an end to mourning and darkness. For the Lord will be our everlasting light, for God will be a permanent present among his people. That's the promise of light. That's the hope of light from the Old Testament. There is a day coming when God will save the nations and all darkness will be driven out. A little bit more on that shortly, about our future in the light. So let's come to John chapter 8. And it's hugely significant at this point in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, the context of John 8 is when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," that God's people are celebrating light. In chapter 7, Jesus makes this statement during the Feast of the Tabernacles, the festival of booths or tents. The festival is remembering the structures God's people lived in the wilderness, having just been saved out of Egypt before entering the promised land. So you have that picture, God guiding and leading his people by his light, by this fire, people setting up booths and tents in the wilderness, the Lord leading, providing, protecting them. God provided housing in these temporary booths, and so the Feast of the Tabernacle was an opportunity to remember the God who saved them. Not just to remember him, but they celebrated his provision and how God guided by the pillar of light, this glory of the Lord that shone around them. And they're celebrating. The Feast of the Tabernacle consisted of four huge candles. Not just these little ones. They were enormous candelabras. And they would fill the temple courts, and there was this extravagant celebration going on that would take place under these lights. They danced through the night. They sang through the night, probably Psalm 27. And the light of the temple was so bright it was known to glow all over Jerusalem. The whole region could see the light. That's some party, isn't it? It's bigger than better than our Vivid. The whole region could see this light of celebration. And they were celebrating God. It's in this context that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." The Feast of the Tabernacles, Jerusalem is glowing, the whole region can see these lanterns burning and the celebrations. And John 8, verse 12. Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I'm the one that provides, guides, protects. I'm the light of the world," Jesus said, over this celebration. And Jesus here is looking at this festival and saying, "A true and better expression of light is here, and it's me. I am the light of the world." You can picture it, can't you? Just like we've sung here this morning. People celebrating and singing, we didn't dance, but we can dance. It's okay if you want to get up and dance when we sing. This massive lanterns, huge party, Jesus says, "I am the light, the true light, the light to which all these lights are pointing. The light to which all those Old Testament symbols and ideas of light are pointing. I am he. I am the light of lights. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." See, Jesus is more than just a light for Israel, lighting up the city of Jerusalem. He's the light of all nations, as we heard in Isaiah 49. And Jesus is offering light to the whole world. Jesus is for all people. He offers light for all the nations to help us to see and understand the world we live in. He is the map, the one who will guide us through our life. "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Darkness is hugely important. It's a huge problem. You know, in the scriptures, darkness is a symbol of despair. Darkness is a symbol of God's absence. Darkness is a metaphor for judgment and evil and all that is bad in the world. So Jesus, to come into that, he is saying, "I'm shining in that darkness. I'm the light of the world." And his call is to follow me and you will not walk into darkness. You will not walk in despair. You will not walk in judgment. You will have the light of life. Sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds wonderful. In this celebration, Jesus speaks these words of life. But yet he faces opposition. The Pharisees in verses 13 to 19, I won't read them, leads to the end of this chapter 8, is that they want to stone Jesus. Here he is coming, offering life in darkness to all people, and they want to stone him. See, these Pharisees in darkness, they fail to see that Jesus speaks with authority, that Jesus is offering what they need. They fail to see that he comes from the Father they claim to be their God. They don't take Jesus at his word. And Jesus said, if you reject me, you reject the Father who is in heaven. In other words, you're going to stay in darkness. Same for all of us. Yet Jesus, in the midst of all this opposition and hostility, they're trying to stone him, they'll eventually try and kill him, continues to call people to follow him. Jesus is not distracted. He offers the light of life. What Jesus offers is freedom from slavery, freedom from frustration, freedom from hopelessness and uncertainty and fear. And haven't we seen that this week? If Jesus is the light of the world, he says, follow me. Jesus says, follow me, and you won't walk in darkness that leads you away from God and his salvation. Now again, light in John's gospel is huge. There's so much to say that John points to about light, that Jesus is the light of the world and what he's offering and how to respond to this light. But I just want to look at one verse. John chapter 3, verse 19. It says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth lives in the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. There's a couple of plays and ideas here in John 3 of light versus darkness. The people who love the light versus people who love the darkness. And the reality is, left to ourselves, we'll choose darkness over light. And the call here is to turn from darkness and follow the light of life, and you'll find true life. All its fullness, life that satisfies that deep longing of all our hearts, as we heard last week. But to follow Jesus is to follow after Jesus is a call to repent. See, we are all going the wrong way into darkness. Repentance is to turn and go the right way. Jesus' light corrects that instinct, as I said, that leads us away from God. Into darkness, into the hairy traverse, into that 40-foot drop. Friends, repentance is a change in attitude. Then leads to a change in actions, a change in belief that leads to a change in behaviour, to turn away from the deeds of darkness. You know, the ideas and attitudes and motives of this world that embrace the light, that all that is good that is found in Jesus. We need to turn away from the things of the world and turn to Jesus. For in him is life. What does that look like? It's to love God and to love each other. Not just to love our enemy, but to pray for them. Not to tear people down, but to encourage and build people up. That's the light of life. How different is that to the world that says it's all about me? One of the ideas in John's gospel that describes this darkness is spiritual blindness. Jesus, in the next chapter, in chapter 9, heals a blind man. Now, he's blind, not the result of his direct sin or his parent or anyone, but this blindness is a symbol of sin in the world. And Jesus heals this blind man, gives him sight. But what Jesus is pointing to is this physical blindness represents the spiritual blindness of us all. Now, your eyes may see things with 20/20 vision, but the eyes of your heart are blinded by darkness. You are spiritually blind, and that is what we all are by nature. We're all drawn to that
cliff. See, spiritual blindness loves darkness, loves to gratify the sinful desires of our heart. And we retreat into darkness in our hearts. And there we devour the fruits of darkness, of deceit, of bitterness, of lust, of greed, of idolatry, of grumbling, of gossip, of slander. I could keep going. But friends, the darkness is not something that is out there like in a cave, that I can't see my hand. Darkness is in here, within each one of us. In our hearts, we show the darkness that is within us. Sin is the things we do, the thoughts we linger on, the words we say, the deeds we perform that are not pleasing to God. Our sins really are just a symptom of a deeper heart issue that shows our heart is filled with darkness, a heart that rebels against God that made us and loves us. But friends, can you see what Jesus is offering us? If you are blind, you need to see this. Jesus is offering you to be able to see, to walk on the right path of true life, a path that it walks away from judgment to salvation. Maybe there are deeds of darkness that you're trapped in. A constant part of your story, and you're struggling with sin and preferring to hide in darkness. And friends, if we're honest, that's all of us. And Jesus is offering to give you eyes to see those things and to turn from those things and to trust Him, the one who truly satisfies. And the call for all of us struggling with sin, to be honest, we're all to acknowledge the instinct to go away from God and to follow the light of life. For Jesus is a good Saviour. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're wrestling with, that darkness that you're trapped in, see that Jesus is a wonderful Saviour. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Can you see Jesus is offering freedom from darkness? He's offering freedom from fear. He's offering freedom from judgment, the judgment we all deserve. He's offering forgiveness, the light of life. It's good news. No matter how far off track you are, Jesus is offering you the light to turn from darkness. Are you following Jesus? Are you following the light? How can we follow the light? How does Jesus offer freedom? Well, His light shines in the darkness. Jesus Himself came to go to the darkest place to shine the light of His glory. In verse 20, He spoke of that hour. It's not yet come for Him, but there is an hour that did come for Jesus. We see the light of Christ shining all more brightly because of the darkness of the cross where He came to die. And if you read in other Gospels, you remember as Jesus died, darkness descended. It was midday. Darkness descended over the place where He died. Representing the darkness of the whole world. And it's where that Jesus dies for the sins of this world, the darkness that engulfed the world. Yet Jesus is the light of a world in whom there was no darkness, as we read, as Volan read to us. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So as Jesus comes to that darkest hour, the moment He takes darkness upon Himself, He endures the cross, the darkness of evil and judgment that we deserve. The good news is Jesus has victory over darkness. As He dies, He says, it is finished. Sin and death defeated. For the light bursts out of darkness from the empty tomb as the resurrection of Jesus proves that light wins. Can you picture that? That empty tomb? That's light. Sin, death, darkness has not overcome Jesus.
proves that light wins, that Jesus reigns and can offer light of life to all who repent and follow him. And we'll never walk in darkness again. Rather, walk in the light of life, the path that leads to eternity. That's good news. Friends, it really has finished. Light has overcome darkness. But there is more to this glorious future of light, as we're reminded in Isaiah 60, that Jesus is the light of the world. We read now in Revelation, we see the fulfillment of Isaiah 60. Let me read Revelation 21 verse... I'm behind a little bit. Oh, it didn't come up. I'll read it anyway. Revelation 21 verse 23. The city does not need the sun... Oh, there it is. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever shut. There will be no night there. Can you see it? Can you see what Jesus is offering? Can you see the certain future? Certain as Jesus' death and resurrection, a future where there will be no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God will give light. The lamp is the Lamb that is Jesus. He is the radiant eternal life of the world, the light of salvation for all nations. They'll walk in every tribe, tongue, everyone who puts their trust in Jesus will be there. What a picture. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? It's hard to think about in our world of darkness today that this future is there for us. And what a celebration, singing in the presence of the light of the glory of the Lord. It's hard to see it in this dark world. It is if we're looking for hope in all the wrong places. Do you long for that day? Do you long for your family and friends to be there, or are you complacent about them walking in darkness? That's the opportunity of Alpha. Your family and friends, they're walking in darkness. They're not going to know this glorious light of the risen Lord Jesus for eternity without us telling them about the light of life. In the light of the glory of God, there is no darkness, no sin, no death, no tears, no pain. That's hard to imagine today, isn't it? I said the world is full of sorrow and mourning, but the light brings hope. So one final question. That day is certain and it's coming. What do we do as we wait for eternal light to burst forth? Or John chapter 12, verse 36. Believe in the light. If we do, we are children of the light. See, Jesus has sent his Spirit into all who believe, so that Jesus, the light of the world, is us. That we are to make a difference for his glory, for his kingdom. Do we have a heart for Jesus? Are we shining brightly the light of Jesus in our lives to each other? Are we taking our eyes off ourselves to be truly other person-centred? We're the light of Christ to encourage and build each other up in love, shining the light of God's word so each of one of us grows in maturity of Christ, so that we'll run that race, so that we'll be presented mature in Christ when that light bursts forth from all eternity. That's what a children of light does. And as we do, others will see that we're not walking in darkness, but walking as the world walks. That's a challenge, isn't it? Are we walking in darkness like the world, or are we walking like light that Christ shines in us? Walking with Jesus, the Word that became flesh. He is the lamp for our feet. He is the light for our path. The light of life, freedom from sin and death that leads us home to eternity. Waiting for the light of the glory of God to burst forth into this world of darkness. Again, but eternal light of Jesus, the glorious risen Lamb of God. So this morning, is Jesus the light of your world? What's going on in your heart this morning? Is there darkness? What are you wrestling with? What are you struggling with? Jesus' offer here is to help you to walk through life so we don't go left or right. That's our instinct, isn't it? We like to savour the darkness. But friends, come into the light. And he'll lead you to that eternal light. No sun, no moon. And as we've sung this morning, we're going to sing the praise of God for 10,000 years and many more. How good's that? I hope that encourages as we walk through this darkness of life now. But find that light in Jesus. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we pray you shine the light of the truth of your word into our hearts this morning. That we'll not savour darkness, but we'll walk in your marvellous light. You have saved us out of darkness into your light. You have given us just sure and certain hope. Lord Jesus, lead us through this life by your word and with each other here. Help us to encourage each other, to spur each other on. And Lord Jesus, we wait for that light of your glory to come. On that last day when you return, Lord, help us to be found in you, that we may enjoy the light of the glory of your presence now and forevermore. And Lord Jesus, we wish that for our family and friends. So Lord Jesus, use us to be your light in this world, that our lives will shine brightly. Our lives that have hope in you will be seen by others, and they'll thirst after that light. And Lord, we thank you for the promise that all who believe and turn to you in repentance and faith will have the light of life. So Lord Jesus, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.